Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And, Wes, we are just rolling through these OTAs here in June. The Packers getting close to the end of the offseason program. And this past week, we heard from one of the veteran leaders on this team who we hadn't heard from as far as interviews with the media throughout the spring to this point, and that's defensive lineman Mike Daniels. And I guess the best way to sum it up is Mike Daniels is a big man who is thinking big in 2017.
He is, Mike. And it's interesting when you listen to him lay out all the reasons for why he believes this team could be special, this defense could be special. There's a lot of valid reasoning in it. And, you know, he looks at a guy like HaHa Clinton Dix, Pro Bowl safety. He looks at, you know, Nick Perry after the season that he had, Clay Matthews himself, Kenny Clark. You look at bringing in the Josh Joneses of the world. There's a lot of talent on this defense. And I think what Daniel's biggest point was is that, you know, he looks at this group and he's like, you know what, we have the potential to accomplish some special things. Everything didn't go according to plan in 2016. There were a lot of injuries in that secondary, I think, that set them back. But at the end of the day, it's still a young group. It's still a really deep group. And for all the departures the Packers had this offseason, by all intents and purposes, the defense is still pretty much intact from where they feel it was, you know, 2 years ago when they were one of the best in the NFL.
Yeah, the Daniel's overriding message, I thought, was he got a little nostalgic, I guess. Yeah. You could say he waxed nostalgic. He talked about how the way he's going about this season is he's envisioning the Packers in the Super Bowl. He's going to believe it. He's going to see it in his mind. And he talked about a game in college when he played for the Iowa Hawkeyes. And I actually went back and looked up the game to try to get some of the details. It was 2008. He was just a redshirt freshman, a part-time player, rotational guy, not even a star at Iowa yet by any means. But Iowa was hosting Penn State late in the season in November. Iowa was below 500 in the Big Ten. Penn State was undefeated, ranked number 3 in the country. And Daniels said their defensive coordinator, Norm Parker, the late Norm Parker, well-respected defensive coordinator for a long time at the University of Iowa, told the players, hey, envision doing something great. Envision what this locker room will be like after the win. Envision yourself doing something special. And Iowa went out and you know, shocked the college football world with a victory that night. And that game, Daniels didn't even necessarily play a big part in it. But that experience is something that has resonated with him. And he's kept that internally. And he wants to, you know, draw on that a little bit to try to help get this Packers team over the hump. Because at the end of the day, this is now a locker room that the majority of these guys have been through two NFC championship games that they have lost. There are only 6 players on this roster who were part of the Super Bowl 45 right. championship team from 6 years ago. So that type of leadership and experience continues to dwindle, and Daniels is well aware of that.
Yeah, it is interesting because you look at someone like, you know, Randall Cobb now, Mike Daniels, Nick Perry, guys that have been around for 6-7 years now, that they weren't a part of it. They just missed being a part of that Super Bowl championship
right.
team. And Daniels has been saying this for a number of years about how it motivates him seeing Aaron Rodgers in the locker room with a ring. You know, when Ryan Pickett was here, a lot of these different guys, what that meant to them, the validation, how big of a goal that is. And then you play with someone like Julius Peppers for 3 years, one of the best that have ever done it, and has never had a chance to win a Super Bowl. So this is interesting now. I mean, this is an opportunity, I think. And Daniels is so much about mental, you know, motivation, and I think there's so many different things that he draws from. I mean, certainly you see the energy that he brings to the field each and every Sunday, but it's also the understanding of what they need to do right now. What can be done on a Tuesday during the offseason program to get you closer to that goal? That's the biggest thing, I think, for Daniels and this entire roster right now, whether you are Josh Jones coming in as a rookie, you know, just the guy that isn't afraid to lay the wood, I think, is what the expression that Mike Daniels used. Kevin King, when he gets here, 6'3", one of the tallest cornerbacks the Packers have ever drafted. Those are young men that are going to come in, and they're going to start being able to learn from Mike Daniels, to learn from Morgan Burnett, and start to understand the culture that they're trying to cultivate, that they're trying to really produce to get them to being what they want to be as a defense, to really get that other Super Bowl ring for this team, and as Daniels mentioned, for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he's definitely would like to correct the fact that Aaron Rodgers, as one of the best quarterbacks in the game, has only been to one Super Bowl, and it wasn't with Mike Daniels. Right. Daniels wants to get there himself. He knows as well as anyone, inspirational words, inspirational stories, they only go so far. But he also likes what the Packers have done in this offseason in terms of bringing in leaders, veteran guys who have, excuse me, been there and done that. Martellus Bennett, a Super Bowl champion with the Patriots. Jari Evans, a Super Bowl champion with the Saints. Ricky Jean-Francois, a guy who came from a top-notch San Francisco defense there in the early part of this decade and was part of that defense that led them to a Super Bowl and almost a Super Bowl championship in that game against the Ravens. So, and you mentioned the draft picks as well. So Mike Daniels really likes the way this thing is taking shape. We've got a long way to go, but he's a pretty optimistic guy right now.
Yeah, and as he mentioned with Jean-Francois too, these are veterans that could come in and they can give you a different perspective on things. The Packers, they are big on draft and development, signing their own guys, but occasionally you get these Julius Peppers type players, you get the Ricky Jean-Francois type players, veterans who have had experience with other players in this league that can kind of pass those lessons down to these second and third year guys in Green Bay.
Yeah, no question about it. With that, Wes, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz all the way over there. Wes, a great story comes out early this week with the Packers resuming OTAs on Tuesday. Devon House, the veteran cornerback coming back to Green Bay after a two-year absence in Jacksonville, he is making his way back to Green Bay from a weekend in Texas,
yep.
I believe it was.
Yeah.
And his flight out of Texas to Minneapolis is significantly delayed, and he's feeling like, you know, I'm not going to make my connection to Green Bay. I've got practice on Tuesday morning. This is on Monday night, correct?
Correct,
coming
yeah.
back. And so he gets to Minneapolis. Of course, he misses his flight. He doesn't have there isn't another flight late in the evening to get back to Green Bay. The rental counters, the car rental counters are all closed. He's got nowhere to turn except to Twitter. And I'm going to let you take the story from there.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is the only one throwing Hail Marys in Green Bay. Devon House, he did kind of a last-ditch effort. The Packers, the players usually get here, I think it was like 7 o'clock in the morning, I think is what House said he had to report for. So there's a big 8-hour gap there. And he's in Minneapolis trying to figure out how to get to Green Bay. So throws out a tweet, says, hey, if anyone's going to Green Bay, it's a Packer fan looking for someone to hitch a ride with, or, you know, looking to give somebody a ride, I'd potentially be interested.
And it's pretty late at night it here. I mean, we're talking, the clock's approaching 11 o'clock midnight at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, so it's funny. He said he got a bunch. He said, I think there was 15 people that reached out to him. And
that's amazing.
And he started DMing them, you know, back saying, hey, are you actually serious? About half of them were like, oh my gosh, you're Devon House. You actually tweeted back at me. That's awesome. And no, really wasn't going to do it. A few people said they would do it for money and then gave him prices. And he's like, oh no, it's okay. I can just take Uber if it comes to that. But he found Chad and Mike Johnson, brothers. One lives in Eau Claire, one lives in Hudson, which is right across the river from Minnesota, about 30 miles away from Minneapolis. And they decide in the middle of the night, we're going to take Devon House back to Green Bay. House ends up connecting with them, does a little bit of background on them to make sure everything's on the up and up. Huge Packer fans, lifelong Packer fans, and they give him the 4.5-hour commute back to Green Bay, getting into town at 3:30 in the morning. Quite a story, and needless to say, Devon House was able to be on the practice field on Tuesday.
Yeah, now just to clarify the logistics, it was the brother in Hudson who went and picked him
Correct.
Up at the airport, and then heading back across kind of Highway 29, they picked up the other brother
yep.
so that so that after they dropped House off in Green Bay, there'd be two of them to keep each other awake as they go back in the wee hours of the morning, because they had to work Tuesday morning, right? Just like House did.
Yeah, they had to work. Devon House, actually, he did offer to put them up in a hotel for bringing them, hey, you know, get some rest, go back the next day. And they both explained, no, we both have to work. Mike was actually working at the Minneapolis airport. He's a part of an excavation company that's doing some demolition work at the airport. So he actually had to go completely all the way back to where he got House. And then Chad also, I believe, works in, I think it was medical, something with the medical
supplies.
Yeah, medical supplies, yeah. Manufacturing. So needless to say, both of those guys needing to get back home. Chad, as he explained it to me, got back at 7. He usually gets into work about 7:15, 7:30. He's bald, so he doesn't need to take like a big shower. Jumped in really quick, put on a new set of clothes, and was back at work the next morning. So pretty remarkable story for their time and effort. Devon actually signed a couple cleats, a couple gloves for them, and sent them on their way. And certainly a thing that probably underscores that unique relationship between Packer fans and Packer players. House said, you know, if he was in Jacksonville, this probably wasn't something he would have done. Not because it's an indictment on the fans or the community or anything. It's just with Green Bay, it's a little different. And,
yeah.
You know, being here for 4 years and coming back, he understands how unique the relationship is between the fans. He even said, you know, these guys are both owners. They took a lot of pride in bringing me to work. So that's the way it goes sometimes. And fortunately for House, was able to be here for those very important reps in practice on Tuesday.
Yeah, I think it's a great story. And, you know, for House, OTAs are voluntary. He didn't have to be here. But at the same time, with the offseason program winding down, a lot of these players have bonuses in their contract based on being available, being present for a certain percentage of the off-season program. So you don't want to miss a day late in the game, you know, because then you might put your bonus in jeopardy. So he had plenty of incentive to get back, even though it was a voluntary practice. He would have been excused, yeah. You know, certainly if he doesn't show up. But that being said, I also admire the dedication of those Packers fans who had jobs the next morning. They're yeah. going back to work on no sleep. You know, their jobs are probably a little bit more on the line as far as showing up on, you know, a minimal rest compared to Devon House at one voluntary practice. But just a fun story, and you hope maybe somewhere down the line those two brothers and Devon House maybe reunite at some point during the season if they can, you know, head this way to visit him again.
Yeah, Devon said he's hoping to hook him up with some jerseys, so hopefully that can get facilitated. But it was interesting listening to Chad Johnson talk about it, because he said a lot of his coworkers were kind of giving him a little bit of grief because he wasn't really doing that much work when he got to work anyway, because he got bombarded by interview requests. It became a national story. I think it was on a lot of the national news things. I think ESPN picked it up on SportsCenter.
Yep.
Just a really something you don't hear every day, so made it very unique in that way. Also, for Devon House, getting back to one other point that about House, this is important for him. Yes, from a workout bonus standpoint, that's very important family-wise,
yeah.
Taking care of your family.
Sure.
But also, he said it was important with the young cornerbacks in the room. He knows that they look towards him. He didn't want people being in the cornerback room being like, where's House? He was there, showed that leadership and dedication, and certainly the Packers appreciated it.
Yeah, no question about it. With that, Wes, we'll go to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. Wes, we heard from quarterback Aaron Rodgers this week as well. He had a media session at his locker, and one topic that came up is the future of his contract. And we all know how this works with quarterbacks, with the higher-paid players in the game that sign the long-term deals. You sign that deal, you become maybe the highest-paid guy or one of the highest-paid guys at your position. And the way the salary cap keeps going up and the market keeps changing, within a couple of years, you know, your contract almost becomes outdated, even though you still have multiple years left on it. That's somewhat the position that Aaron Rodgers is in based on his performance level, how he's being paid relative to a few other quarterbacks in the league. But in the same breath, Aaron Rodgers is not concerned about this. He has firm belief that the Packers and his agent will work something out, everything will be just fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was kind of the underlying thing I thought I really took out of Rodgers when he was asked that, is that everybody understands his value. They understand where his role is on this team. There's not any kind of miscommunication or just misunderstanding from that regard. It's not something he's worrying about. Now, there is a long time to go before it becomes an actual issue. And I think the feeling that he has is that eventually they'll get it all worked out and figured out. It's so hard. You know, it's such a unique situation. I remember with Brett Favre a little bit, too, in the late 90s, this became a thing as well. Just what do you do? Like, how do you fully take care of guys who are two-time, three-time MVP players, guys who've won Super Bowls? Because there's just so few of them. It's so hard to gauge it. And you have all these other teams in the NFL who they have kind of pinpointed a franchise quarterback after 4 or 5 years that maybe they haven't won a Super Bowl, but at the same time, they know they want to keep him in the fold. I think Oakland's dealing with this now with Derek Carr.
Yeah.
And the understanding of what he could potentially mean to them in the long term and being a franchise-type quarterback. So the quarterback position is extremely unique, and this is one of the big things that goes along with it. When you look at Rodgers, though, what he's accomplished in Green Bay, how they've gone about doing his deals in the past, he said it's worked out well for both sides, and he envisions no matter what the circumstances are, whenever it gets taken care of down the road, that'll again be the case.
Yeah, with the amount the salary cap has been going up in recent years because of you know the revenues in the league continuing to increase, there's plenty of cap room here for the Packers to work this out and to return Aaron Rodgers at some point within the next year or two to I guess the pay level that's commensurate with where he's ranked and where he belongs without compromising what the Packers would need to do financially for other players and to keep the team competitive. Rodgers was asked, you know, do you feel like you're going to have to give, you know, one of these hometown discounts to make sure that the salary cap doesn't get crippled by your contract kind of thing? And he says, no, the way the Packers manage this, he doesn't believe that's going to be a concern at all. And that hasn't been a concern throughout his career.
Yeah, it's really a testament to what the Packers have done that you've never heard these things of the cap number for Rodgers getting out of control. There's different ways that you can work out these deals. You can use the last year of his previous deal to help cushion and be able to spread out the signing bonus, keep it manageable, make sure that you can obviously reward your quarterback for what he's done and pay him what he's earned and what he deserves, but at the same time not have to sacrifice being able to re-sign Mike Daniels, David Bakhtiari, Randall Cobb, Brian Bulaga. You have to have pieces around him. Rodgers understands that, and again, looking at how Ted Thompson, how this organization has really been able to structure things over the last 11, 12 years, one of the big hallmarks has been when guys have reached free agency, particularly going for that second contract, the Packers have been able to take care of them. They've kept them in the fold. They did it again with Nick Perry this previous offseason. So that's going to be a big thing. I'm sure people are going to be talking about it, but at the end of the day, it's not something that's keeping Aaron Rodgers up at night.
Yeah, definitely not. With that, Wes, we're going to go to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, final segment. I want to go back to this Devon House travel story thing here because we actually forgot to mention a handful of years ago, A.J. Hawk was in a similar situation. The Packers veteran linebacker needed to get back. It was from Minneapolis again. And he ended up having to pay a little bit more money than Devon did in order to get back. It was an Uber ride?
Yeah, I think it was taxi back then. I don't think Ubers were around yet. Okay. Like 2000, I think it was 2009. But yeah, he was in the very same situation. One thing you got to give credit to all these players about, they're at least going through Minneapolis. They aren't going through Detroit. If you're going through Detroit, you're looking and you're probably not going to make it even if you do drive.
Yeah.
But the Minneapolis drive is doable. I've done it plenty of times myself, having to get to games and whatnot. But for A.J. Hawk, what he did, same situation, got there, flight wasn't going to make it, didn't make the connecting flight, went outside and basically just asked the taxi, how much would it be to get me to Green Bay? You know, not down the street to like, you know, a restaurant or something, to actually go to Green Bay. And the guy said, I think it was $1,500, I think is what it was.
$1,500.
So I believe it was AJ and then his wife Laura. They made the trip all the way across, paid the taxi guy, he went back. He was on hand for OTAs the next morning. If memory serves me correct, I think the NFLPA ended up picking the tab for him on that, I believe. So he ended up not having to pay it himself. But the thought was there, the motivation was there, and as I think we were joking about a little bit with Devon House, probably would have been a different situation for AJ Hawk back in 2009 if Twitter would have been a little bit more popular.
Yeah, well, the Twitter thing is interesting to me because now I start to wonder, okay, so when we're in Minneapolis covering Packers-Vikings this year, if I get so wrapped up in my story in the press box that I miss the team bus, you know, to catch the flight, can I just get on Twitter and find these Packer fans to like drive me back home? I mean, then I get a really good story to tell.
Well, I think I joked with a couple people too. I'm guessing when they got back to Green Bay, me giving them a couple signed pairs of my shoes and gloves, my winter gloves, maybe it wouldn't be as cool for
them.
Yeah,
I don't think it'd be as good a story for the for the fans.
But it is interesting though, because Aaron Rodgers also touched on it too. He actually had a little bit of his own incident as well. Again, a situation of missing a connecting flight. I think he said it was back in 2007, was before he was even a starting quarterback yet, but he was fortunate enough in that the cab stand was actually still open. So it was, I believe it was a tornado warning or something that was going on in Minneapolis.
Yeah, he was talking about they were giving announcements in the airport for everybody to get away from the windows,
yeah.
Which in an airport is not easy to do. No. There's a lot of windows in an airport. So everybody was moving to like the middle of the floors to try to stay away from the glass. I guess it was a pretty serious situation.
But Aaron Rodgers went and found that cab stand, got himself able to get himself into Green Bay. I think he said it was like 2:30 in the morning. So these are the things you deal with. I know there was a story out of Buffalo too of one of the cornerbacks there took a $900 Uber ride to get to OTAs. So I'm guessing back in the day a lot of these guys maybe were in town a little bit more. You know, there's a lot more communication, a lot more moving these days, but it is interesting when you are up against it how creative people have become to, finding ways to get to work on time.
Yeah, and it sounded like Devon even used a common contact on Twitter to kind of check these guys out and make sure that, you know, that he was going to be safe, that he'd be okay. So
that's the number one thing.
Yeah, so all the vetting was going on as well. But with that, we're going to sign off on Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com on Twitter. He's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. You can find the team account at Packers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will see you next time.